All right. So, thank you. Today we're going to turn back to John 14. So if you have a Bible near you, Bible with you, go ahead and grab those and open up to John 14. We'll be spending most of our time there this morning. And we're going to consider the second of three gospel promises I see in this section of Scripture, where Jesus is meeting with his disciples. They're having that last Passover meal. He starts telling them that he's going away, and of course, they're dismayed by that. They're like, oh no, where are you going? Why can't we come with you? And Jesus responds to that, and what he says, I see these gospel promises that I wanted to highlight. The first of those we read about last week, the beginning of John 14, where Jesus told them that he was going away to the Father's house, and he would prepare a place for them there, and he would return and take them back. So that was the promise of an eternal home, a promise that's available to all who put their faith in Jesus, a promise that gives us such hope for our future and for the future of loved ones who pass away in this world, that there is a life beyond what we experience here on the earth, that God made us for eternity, and he invites us to enjoy eternity with him through our faith in Jesus. That's part of the salvation that Jesus gained for us. And as we continue to read in John 14, we see the disciples continuing to question Jesus, and that's where we're going to pick things up again. So John 14, we're going to start in verse 5 and read through 14 for today. So verse 5 says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do, and greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So there are a few things I want to begin with here. And first of all, you see Jesus making these strong statements in response to Thomas about himself and the Father. He says, if you know me, you know the Father. The disciples still haven't made that connection. They still see God as somehow separate from Jesus. And Jesus, you know, when he responded to Philip, he said, have you known me so long, you still don't know me? Do you not understand that I am in the Father is in me? If you know me, I know the Father. He makes this strong point. And this is one of these areas where it clearly comes out that Jesus is identifying himself with God. This is where our idea of the Trinity comes from. There is a Father, there is a Son, there is a Holy Spirit who are distinct, but they are one, and they are unified as God. We may not fully understand what that is, but that is how Jesus spoke about himself. And when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me, he's emphasizing that point. Look, if you know me, if you follow me, if you see me, you know the Father. I am the way to get to know him. And we see this throughout the book of John. I've highlighted this before, where John highlights all these places where Jesus says, believe in me, believe in me. Don't just look at the things I do. Understand who I am and believe in me. And then as he continues on, you get down to the statement in verse 12 where Jesus makes this bold promise. Well, actually, start back up a little bit. I'm going to go to verse 14 where he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a bold promise that whatever you ask for, I will do it for you. There's another passage similar to this to John in John 15 where Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. These are passages that often come up in studies on prayer. When we talk about this incredible gift that God has given us of a way to communicate with him. He invites us to have ongoing conversations with him, and in those conversations to make requests of him. It's incredible to think that the God of the universe actually responds to our individual requests. Who are we that God would listen to us? And yet that's the depth of his love and his care for us. He actually listens to and responds to our prayers. And Jesus makes these rather bold statements. Ask whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And whenever we talk about these things, it's important to understand that these statements, these promises he's making of responding to our prayers are conditioned on a certain thing. It's conditioned on remaining in him, as Jesus said in 15. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. He's talking about the kind of requests that come from a deep connection with him. Requests that come out of our fellowship and our devotion to him. So he's not just talking about any kind of random request where, like, we say, God, I want the weather to be this way today. Could you please make the weather fit what I want? Or, you know, make my life easy. He's not promising each individual to do whatever we want things to do. As I'm saying this, I'm reminded of the movie Bruce Almighty. Did anyone ever see Bruce Almighty? There's a man who was given the power of God. And there's a scene where he sits down and he creates this computer where he gets all the prayer requests that are coming in, and he just answers yes to everybody. And it creates chaos for the entire world, right? There's like a million people who won the lottery that day, right? Because they wanted to win the lottery. No, they didn't get it very much, right? But it just emphasized the point of what would happen if God said yes to every one of our requests. And Jesus is not saying, ask whatever you want in the sense of whatever selfish thing that you want for yourself, I'll give it to you. Jesus is not a genie who does our bidding. He's talking about the kind of requests that come out of a deep connection and relationship with him. Requests that are centered on his goodness and his desires and his will for our lives. And the more you get to know Jesus, those are more the desires that you have. You start to want what God wants for your life. And so the requests you make are more aligned with God's will. And so that's where this promise is coming from. And even in that, it's still an amazing promise. That what we request of Jesus, he will do for us. And all of that, though, is just an initial understanding of the great promise I see here in John 14. Jesus certainly is making a bold promise to do what we ask of him. But I want to take a look at the context of that promise and see an even greater promise than what I mentioned before. And that's where we want to go to John, verse 12 in John 14. This promise to respond to our requests is embedded in this even bolder promise. So in verse 11, Jesus is telling his disciples that he and the Father are one, and he calls on them to believe in him. He says, believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. So again, he's pointing to the work that he did in the world. The way he taught people with authority, he showed them the authority of God, the way that he healed them through miraculous works, the way that he cared for people, all of that, all of the work that he did, he was demonstrating the character and the power of God. And again, he kept calling on people to believe in him. Don't just believe in my works. Don't just keep asking me to do the same things. Believe in me. Understand that the works that I do are here to point you to who I am, that I am one with God. I am the Messiah. I am from him. And after saying this, he says, believe at least in the works that I've done to help you understand that I am the Father in one. He says this in verse 12. Whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. And this is the second great promise of the gospel that I see. The promise of great works, I'm calling it. That those who believe in Jesus, will do even greater works than what Jesus did when he was in the world. And what does that mean? What does that promise look like? In going to the Father, Jesus was going to do something that would enable his disciples to continue to do the work that he had started and accomplish even more for the glory of God. And when he says that he will do whatever we ask in his name for the glory of God, he's making an invitation for us to call on him to do that work through us. So that promise to answer our prayers, when he says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it, that's in the context of saying, ask me to accomplish great things in this world through you, and I will do it. And there's a couple of things to understand about that. So this promise to do great works isn't that God is going to make you great. He's not going to fill you with power and fame and glory and all the things that the world seeks after so that you can stand out and say, look at me. We know that's not what God wants. But what he is promising is he's going to show up in our lives. He is going to be present in the moment where he gives us an opportunity to do something in this world for God's glory. And he will work through us in ways that we can't accomplish on our own. And he's saying, call on me, ask me to do it, and you will accomplish even more than what I did in my time here on this earth. That's an incredible promise. God is going to do great things in and through us. As you continue in John 14, you read this promise that goes with this. In John 14, verses 15 and 16, he says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And that helper, of course, is the Holy Spirit. In going to the Father, Jesus made a way for the Holy Spirit to come into the life of every believer. And this is an important thing to understand about life in Christ, that when you put your faith in Jesus, it's not only that you have been washed clean and forgiven, but now you have become a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit himself. That he enters and empowers each and every believer. He empowers us for his sake, for his glory, to do these great works in this world. You see something similar to this in a promise that Jesus made in Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus says, truly I tell you, if you have the faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, and Jesus has caused this fig tree to wilt in that moment, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. This is a call to great faith. And not faith, of course, in your own ability. Jesus is not saying that if you believe in me, you will become a person who can just move mountains. But he is calling us to believe in his ability to work in and through us. He's inviting us to believe in him to do greater things than we can ever imagine doing on our own. To be able to figuratively move mountains in our world. This reminds me of the kinds of conversations I'm having with soccer players lately as a coach. We challenge them every day to believe they're capable of more than they know. What they think of, what we tend to think of as our 100% ability, is actually far less than what we're capable of. We only know what we've experienced before. We only know what we think we can do. We haven't yet reached the level of, when we're talking to soccer players, they haven't reached the level of strength and speed and skill that they're capable of yet. But they have to keep working at it. They have to keep stretching themselves, pushing themselves to get to those new levels of capability. And as followers of Christ, we have not yet experienced all of what Jesus can do in and through us. We haven't even yet considered the possibilities of what he will lay before us. In Christ and with the strength of the Holy Spirit, you are capable of much more than you currently realize. We only know what we've experienced and what we know so far. We haven't yet stepped into that place where Jesus works through us in some new and amazing way. And it's only as we continue to ask him to work through us as we continue to seek him, as we continue to invite him, and as we put ourselves out there to step into the opportunities to walk by faith and give God glory. Those places that seem impossible. I am sure many of you have experienced it. I know I've experienced it where there's an opportunity before me that I look at it and say, there's no way I can do that. I don't have the capability to do that. I'm not ready for that. When I was asked to pastor this church, I figured I needed a good 3 or 4 years to get ready. But God had other plans. Yeah, it was 3 months, yes. 3 months to find a new home, move down here, and get started. Right. Yeah. And that just pops into my memory of one of those moments in my life where it seemed impossible. And I'm like, no, I'm not ready for this. But God laid it before me, and I had to walk by faith through it. But there are many opportunities that God will give you that on your own strength, according to your own understanding of your capabilities, you just can't do it. And as we continue to step into those things and ask God to fill in for us, ask God to make us able because we can't, those are those moments where Jesus shows up and shows us the depth of and the breadth of what he can and will do. That's where he's inviting us. Say, ask anything in my name and I will do it for you. He will come in and make it possible. I have one more passage I want to look at to reflect on this some more. And that's that passage in chapter 15 where Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This too is said in the context of something else that Jesus is saying. Let me just read from verse 5 in John 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown in the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So again, this statement that Jesus is making about asking him for anything is set in the context of him talking about bearing fruit for the Lord. He says, apart from me, you can't do anything. I am the vine. You are the branches. We're just that branch out there connected to the vine that has the roots, that has the nourishment. That's where life comes from the vine out to the tips of the plant. If we remain in him, if we remain connected with him, if we're nourished by him, if we're supported by him, we can bear much fruit for God. It's again that same promise. You will do great works for the Lord if you remain connected with me. And ask anything. Ask whatever you wish of me, and it will be done. He will make it happen through you. Jesus is still present in our lives and in our world. He is still actively at work. By going away from the Father and sending the Spirit, he transformed the way his work was done. By being here bodily in the flesh, he could only focus on that region of the world where he was living. But now, through the Spirit, Jesus reaches the ends of the earth. He even reaches out into space now. As I think about astronauts going out into space, right? He reaches out beyond this world through the Spirit, working through every believer on every face, on every space in this planet. So Jesus is inviting us to partner with him. He offers himself to continue the work he began as when he came into the world. He's offering to do it with us, through us, in us. In his time here, Jesus demonstrated God's authority. He demonstrated God's grace and love. He demonstrated how God wants to be present with us. He came to invite all people to believe in him and to turn to him and receive the fullness of life through him. And he now invites us to participate in that work along with him, to be his light wherever we go, to do these great works through the power of his Spirit. It's one of the great promises of the gospel, is the promise that we will be empowered by God for great works, to give glory to God and to bear much fruit for him. Now, what kind of works is he talking about? I don't think we can list them all, honestly. Every individual is going to be different. God empowers us in different ways for different times. The Bible speaks about some of the things that the Spirit does through us, gives us gifts of prayer. Maybe you're a person who's called to great prayer. Or maybe there's a moment in your life or a person in your life or a situation in your life that God calls you to pray for. And he works powerfully through you in those moments. There's gifts of service, stepping in to serve alongside somebody, showing them the presence of God in those moments. Gifts of hospitality, gifts of encouragement, gifts of teaching and sharing. I mean, there's so many different ways we can think about God working through us in mighty ways. The one thing I want to say as we start listing those out, it's tempting to categorize ourselves and say, oh, I'm good at that. That must be what God wants me to do. Oh, I'm good at that. And I've been challenged by that my entire life as a Christian, that God does not want us to settle into those places that we're comfortable. Because then we just depend on our own strengths. And we just say, oh, I'm good here, God. No, Jesus is saying, you are going to accomplish great works in this world. And those great works are far beyond what you think you can do. And they depend on him. So don't let yourself settle into, this is my spot in God's kingdom. No, God might offer you an opportunity to step out of that, partially just to stretch your faith and say, no, I want you to depend on me now. I'm going to ask you to do something you don't think you can do. It might not be a might. You think it will? You think it's definite? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. God does not want us to settle in. All of these ways, there's so many different ways that God's going to give us. The common thing about all of them is that they are going to be situations that allow God to be glorified in some way, that will allow people to turn to him and give him thanks, that will allow God to be seen as people's savior. Whatever it is that God gives you to do, he's going to give you opportunities to invite him in so that God can be glorified. So life in Christ is an invitation to a life full of opportunities. Sometimes when we look at life, we just see the problems. We see blockades. We see things holding us back. We see struggles. And those are all real. But above all of that, God wants us to see opportunity. He is not hindered by any of that stuff. He will not be held back. And he is inviting you to be part of what he's doing, to rise above all of those things. Life in Christ is a life full of opportunity. Opportunities are all around us every day to ask the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. And Jesus does say to ask. Right? He doesn't say he's just going to do it. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it. So get used to asking Christ to come in and enable you. We have to see those opportunities. We have to look past our everydays. And like the disciples did to see past our own sin and brokenness, we have to see past the sin and brokenness of the world, and we have to see that God will be glorified. Let's invite Jesus into our lives and walk by faith into those opportunities to do the great works that he has set up for us to do. Let's praise Jesus that he continues to work through us. As we pray together, and then we'll close out our time together in praising him with song. Lord, I thank you for the life that you've invited us into us. I pray that you give us eyes to see the many, many ways that you are working around us. There are so many opportunities in this world for people's lives to be transformed by you, by your grace, by your love, by your authority in their lives, Lord. Help us to see those. Help us to understand that you are at work in this world in mighty ways and never lose sight of that. And give us the faith and the courage to walk with you into those opportunities, Lord. To know that we don't go alone, but you go with us. We thank you, Lord, that you do empower us in new and mighty ways to work with you in this world. And as we do that, Lord, we thank you for the new depths of understanding of your grace and your love and your presence that we gain for ourselves, Lord. We thank you that you continue to grow and strengthen us as we continue to step into your work in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.